Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. We have a very special show today. Cody and Brandi Rhodes are on Everything Iconic. Now, if you don't know who Cody and Brandi are, they're professional wrestlers. You might know Brandi from WAGS Atlanta. And then Cody, of course, is one of the most famous professional wrestlers. And they both are starting this new professional wrestling league called AEW All Elite Wrestling, which starts this Wednesday on TNT. You can watch it. I hope everyone tunes in. Now, I didn't know a ton about professional wrestling, but I've had so much fun diving in. So many people in my life like really love wrestling. And what I've learned is the professional wrestling community is really obsessed with it in the same way a lot of us are obsessed with housewives and pop culture and things like that. And wrestling still gives us the drama, the costumes, all of it. So Matt, my boyfriend, loves wrestling. My brother Brian loves wrestling. So it was really fun to dive into that world. And I'm really excited to watch AEW this Wednesday on TNT, and I hope you'll enjoy this chat with these two. Cody, of course, has a legendary father in the wrestling community, and we got to talk a little bit about reality TV because they've done it before on WAGS and all sorts of stuff. So I hope you enjoy this chat. Maybe grab your husband, your boyfriend, your brother, whoever in your life watches wrestling, and maybe they'll give it a listen and enjoy an episode of Everything Iconic that's a little bit different. I want to let everyone know we'll be back later this week with some recaps. There'll be a recap of The Real Housewives of Orange County for sure. And then we'll see. Hopefully we'll get to Dallas as well. I would like to. Anyway, I'll leave you with this interview with Brandi and Cody Rhodes. Again, check out All Elite Wrestling debuting Wednesday on TNT. Please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. If you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/everythingiconic. And what else? Cameo.com/Danny Pellegrino. And if you want one of the t-shirts, go to everythingiconic.threadless.com. Everythingiconic.threadless.com. So without further ado, please enjoy my chat with the beautiful. They were both so stunning looking. It was like very, very stunning. Anyway, please enjoy my chat with Brandi and Cody Rhodes. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. I'm so excited. We have two very exciting guests, Cody and Brandi Rhodes. Cody and Brandi, how are you both doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. I don't know how Cody's doing.
I feel pretty good.
You feel pretty good.
Not great.
You must be a little bit nervous, right? Like, I'm nervous for you guys launching AEW. How are you feeling about the launch?
I was saying earlier, I'm really nervous, especially when you add it all up and you say like, oh, okay, wrestling hasn't been on Turner in 18 years. And oh, okay, you're going to be the first, you know, match. And oh, there's a counter programming to you guys now. And this is the one opportunity for this to actually happen. It's just when you take it all in, it's a lot of weight and it can be really scary. But we have a really good crew, the crew at Warner Media, the crew at AEW has helped prepare. And that's the main thing. Like, dot the I's, cross the T's, and just execute. I noticed when I was telling some of the other younger talent about how important this night was that you could like see the nerves. And I thought, maybe we don't do that. Maybe we don't say like, this is everything. But yeah, a little scared,
Brandi,
which is good.
Are you scared?
No.
No,
I'm actually so I am very oddly a very mellow horse in the wrestling world. And I think that's good for him because I've always been like that with him. But I don't particularly, I don't allow myself to get worked up.
Right.
I know everything ahead of time. I have my time beforehand to stress over things and get ahead of myself. But then on the day when we're there, I overpack the day. There's too much media going on. There's a lot
of
stuff.
Keep your mind off of it.
Exactly. Yeah. So that I can't nitpick things that are unnecessary. It's like any other sport. You've prepared for this as best as you can. Rely on what you know. Right. I used to be a figure skater, and my coach used to tell me when it's competition day, it's autopilot at this point. Stop stressing. Stop overthinking anything. Kick on autopilot. Do what you do.
Right. Now, take some people back a little bit. Explain AEW for people who might be just familiar with WWE.
So, in 1984, my parents had sex. And
oh, stop!
Then it was... gosh, how AEW... But that, like...
Your dad, a legend.
This
too,
is how crazy it is, though. Like, I'm joking, obviously, about, like, my birth, but my dad was... going head to head with Vince McMahon in 1985 with Jim Crockett Promotions versus the WWF. And then there's a bazillion cumulative factors that lead to the formation of All Elite Wrestling, an actual full league, and then it coming to Turner. It starts in a couple areas. It starts with Matt and Nick, the Young Bucks, and being the elite and taking just a vlog, being kind of the first of it in that day to say, hey, we're going to vlog. Fans seemed to connect with that before everybody had a vlog.
And people probably thought it was crazy at the time, especially like the older generation thought
sure.
It was crazy.
Total waste of time, probably. And instead, it ended up being much more valuable than some of the matches they were doing. Mm-hmm. It was making a human connection. And then you get to me leaving WWE after 11 years there and taking the bet that no one could run a 10,000-seat arena other than WWE. And me, Matt, and Nick kind of just smashing that bet, standing in the ring and knowing, okay, well, we're going to do a sequel.
Yeah.
We'll do a sequel for sure. And we already knew, like, Double or Nothing, we'll do a sequel. But then enter Tony Khan, and that's like the X factor. That's like the most dangerous thing here, because for so long, Vince was the only billionaire in wrestling. Mm-hmm. Well, now here's this other bigger billionaire in terms of just sphere of influence and like business acumen, and owns an NFL team and owns a football club in the UK, and is a diehard passionate wrestling consumer who can just chat with you all day about wrestling and has all these wonderful ideas. And that's where it became really just, oh, wow. Well, we can be accountable to each other. He can be accountable to us. We can check and balance. There's not as big a risk mm-hmm. in this if we all do it together. Me, Brandi, Matt, Nick, Kenny, Hangman, Adam Page. Mm-hmm. And we were the first to all decide and sign on. And every day something new happens. Oh, well, there's a production truck with your faces on it. Or
that's what it's growing.
Yeah, it's very real. And when you get around Warner Media and TNT and you see all their forces working for you too, you can see why people are very excited about it.
Brandi, you posted on your Instagram account a picture of I think it was the back of a truck, mm-hmm. right? Or it was the two of you. And you had said, I'm black female executive, which is such a huge accomplishment. What does that mean to you?
I mean, it means
you're not only a performer, sorry to interrupt, but you're not only a performer, but you're also an executive, which is, it's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, no, it means everything to me because, I mean, I'm the classic story of keep shooting your shot and keep trying. I did not have an easy anything ever growing up. I couldn't even make up my mind with anything other than just being basically a good student. Mm-hmm. Like everything that kept coming my way, if it wasn't right, I knew it wasn't right. And I would abort ship and go a different direction. And when I was growing up, that was terrible. It was always like, look, figure out what your field is, figure out what you want to do, stick to it, work there for 50 years, get your pension, get out.
Right.
And everything I kept doing, I kept saying, you know what, I don't feel it. This isn't right. This isn't me, until I got into the wrestling business. And when I got in at a job level that I felt like I had a ceiling and there was nothing I could do about that. And I tried for many years and there was no way of getting around it. So for me, it was kind of that last attempt at, you know what is it worth? Is it worth, you know, being able to say you are a part of this, Or is it worth your pride in that you know you can do more than this? Right. And if you don't stop and take the reins and at least try, you're never going to know. So I totally leaped out on faith on that. And here we are today. I am probably, I'm pretty sure we can confidently say, the only Black female executive in our business, mm-hmm. which is great. And I hope that I'm not for long.
You say take the leap of faith, right? And I think both of you are such an example of that, because taking the leap with AEW is, it's a leap, right? And I'm so fascinated just from a business sense. Were you raised that way? Because a lot of people aren't like that, right? Like a lot of people just do, like you said, they wait for their pension and, you know, get that 9 to 5. Were you just raised that way to want to take the leap?
I know I was. I mean, you could have told, like, my dad, I could have told him, if he was still alive today, and I told him, hey, Dad, I want to be an astronaut. I have no training. I have no college degree, but I want to be an astronaut. He would say, like, oh, yeah, 100%. Well, let's sign you up for astronaut school or whatever. We were unrealistic, but it has yet to backfire. So perhaps is rather realistic. He was incredibly... vision and, no pun intended, dream based. My mom, a lot more logic based, but also fairly quiet about everything. So she just sees, you know, let it go. I don't know about you.
Well, my parents are complete different. So my mom was very, they shared that they wanted much more for me than they wanted for themselves. So that's kind of the commonality. But my mom very much, get your education. Do this, do that. Make sure that you check all the boxes. Oh, you're going to leave that job? Well, what do you have lined up? Is it not more money? Then don't take it. Like everything was always like a scary thing with her. But then with my dad, it was always like, well, I mean, the flip side to this is, you know, I read this thing where, you know, this guy who's a billionaire now, he just walked out of his job. So maybe you just walk out of your job, you know? And I was always like, huh, I kind of like him.
Yeah, like kind of like his way. Too.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But I did see it backfire a lot in the sense that I always based everything on like, this is about integrity. Mm-hmm. So if I feel like I'm not being treated like a, you know, what I'm worth or all the work that I'm putting in, then I'm not going to put up with it. But then, you know, when you start to get into your 30s and you're still doing that, then you're kind of like, well, is it me? Or, or what is this? Or am I hanging on to a dream that's not there? This is the perfect example that hang on to that dream, because if you know you're right and you feel that you have these talents and these things to offer, you're going to get your shot if you just keep working really hard.
And it's like, I always have to remind myself, I'm not in control of the timeline, right? It's like, you think you're going to be one place at one time and then it just doesn't happen.
Exactly.
You know, years go by, or even with like marriage or kids, you think it's going to happen at this age and it just doesn't happen on the timeline you think it's going to. I want to talk about the diversity in the league, because I'm so impressed by this. You have the first trans female wrestler, correct?
Yep.
And it seems like they're positioning, or you guys are positioning AEW to be a little bit more diverse than WWE. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I think we want to be congruent with the, we're all much more diverse. So any other television program you turn on should be, or for the most part, the good ones are representing an actual snapshot of America in the world as it is, not as it was. So the wrestling should be no different. And Nyla, that's not our story to tell, but I can tell you that we didn't know.
We weren't
looking at AEW in terms of like checking boxes, because I think checking boxes sometimes can be dangerous or not sincere. We just wanted to find the best wrestlers, no matter, you know, sexual identity, color, race, religion, whatever. And in this case, after she debuted, the internet let us know her story, and I was blown away, because she's a treat. She's so wonderful. But you should see that across the board, and I think it permeates. I think no matter what happens, October 2nd, Dynamite. Say it's the last show, first and last show. No matter what happens now, I think wrestling can't be undone. And that's huge. We need to go forward as far as what our society looks like, especially with today's, not to go on a rant here, but politics is like the worst.
Yeah.
Where it's making you choose. Well, I'm going to be these traditional values, or I'm going to be these radical progressive values, making you choose. Like, it's not that. We live to get, like, we all live together, work together, climate's changing, everything is happening. Like, we gotta, it's so much friendlier than you see when you see people drawing that line. So I want to make sure we never draw a line, that it's just representative of what society is like today.
And I'm excited for it to open up the audience of professional wrestling, because I think there are a lot of people that maybe looked at it as a very straight male dominated field. And so I think it's going to open up and people are going to be able to watch. You know, I'm obsessed with the show Glow right now, which you guys have.
Yeah.
Awesome Kong is one of the wrestlers in the league, and she's amazing on Glow. Do you guys watch it?
One of my favorite shows. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you what do you think about wrestlers in the 80s and that world that we're seeing on that show compared to what it's like now?
One of the reasons I really like Glow is it does showcase some realities of wrestling, where I feel like a lot of times programming tries to guess at what that's like and they don't quite get it right. But it really feels very real as far as what they showcase as the stories and what these women went through and what they continue to go through. I don't think that things have changed all that much. I mean, there are still, we've made leaps and bounds in the women's era of wrestling, but there's still a lot of challenges and there's still a lot of problems, and there's no way to put quick band-aids on situations, because then you set it up to fail. Really, you want to just continue to grow in that direction, and sometimes it just takes a little bit of time. I see people wanting all women shows only and pay-per-views and things like that, but then sometimes they get these things and they're disappointed. It's because we didn't grow to that. We have to just keep letting ourselves evolve. So I think in our league, at AEW, we're really committed to the women that we have, developing them fully, allowing them to kind of grow up, because a lot of these women haven't been on live TV before.
Right.
They've been,
not given the opportunities to do this.
Right. So you've got to let them, play out themselves a little bit, and then we strive for more as we're comfortable, as we're ready, we keep pushing up. But let's do what we do now, and let's do what we do really, really great. Mm-hmm. And not put too much pressure on it to make things harder for ourselves, mm-hmm. basically.
Mm-hmm. Cody, speaking of pressure, your dad, of course, Dusty Rhodes, a legend. Did you always want to be a professional wrestler? That was always in your DNA a little bit.
Yeah. There was really. I think my friends in elementary school, middle school, and as you grow up, they're talking about like what they want to do or things that they're interested in or what. It was never a discussion I had. Mm-hmm. I was never going to do anything but be a wrestler. It wasn't like I went out of my way to tell people I'm going to be a wrestler. It just was 100% what I'm doing.
Right.
And my dad wasn't anti me being a wrestler, and he wasn't really pro me being a wrestler. However, if you bring a 5-year-old kid to a wrestling show and Sting is walking around backstage and your brother is wrestling on the show and all these women are screaming for him and like
that looks great.
Yeah, why would I ever be like, you know what? I'm gonna be this instead. So no, it just was always what I wanted to be, and it's a family business. I told my brother once, like trying to be like cool and edgy when I was 17. I was like, yeah, I'm not really into it.
I'm not
into wrestling. And my brother, who typically doesn't have the up on me, typically like I always try to like push him down.
Who's older?
He's 16 years older, but the relationship is reversed.
Okay.
Yeah. But he looked at me and goes, yeah, okay, we'll talk soon. Like he wasn't even going to hear it.
Yeah, he knew what was going
to
happen.
Fast forward to now, there's a billboard in Vegas, like the size of the hotel, with me crushing his face into the Bubba Gump Frank logo.
Has there been a residency in Vegas for wrestling? I feel like that'd be, on Glow, but yeah. I feel like that'd be such a great thing.
I don't think there has been.
That would be
great. But yeah, that would be fun.
You guys need to do that. I would come see it.
Well, you know what would be really cool? Because the residencies they're not necessarily older acts. They're almost like generational. Yeah. Like Backstreet Boys, for example. It'd be really cool if a group of like 90s or 80s wrestlers who were responsible and competent got together and started a residency in Vegas. If that idea ever happens, you got to take credit for it, because that's a really great idea.
I will. You know what? I'm learning so much about wrestling lately, and what I've found is, because I told friends and family that you guys were coming over, and it's like so many people that I didn't even expect to be such a wrestling fans are like humongous wrestling. My brother is a huge wrestling fan. My friend Jenna, who's like this tiny little woman that I would have never expected, she's like, oh, you got to ask this or that. And it's just like the audience is so diverse. And there is such a this legacy act that I think would be great in Vegas. I think it would be really, really fun. Cody, you issued a statement on your Instagram account about your excitement about the upcoming debut. And one of the things you mentioned was your father and how in 2015 when he passed, it basically broke you. And I talk a lot about mental health on the show. And I was just wondering if you might be able to open up a little bit about what was going on at that time and how were you able to deal with that? I mean, because wrestling, I would imagine you associate with your dad and then everything sort of shifts.
Well, there's this ownership of my dad that the fan base has. And when he passed away, like the last thing you're the actual family, you don't think about that. And you're almost turned off by it to some degree. It all comes from a good place, but like he was, like I'll give you an example. NXT, they call the students Dusty's kids. So how do you feel if you're his actual kids?
Yeah.
Like that's a strange thing. But all that aside, there was I had to cope with that ownership of him. Hey, you guys have it as well. Like he did perform for you for so many years and affect you. But I don't really like I'm one of those lost faith types. You know, I believe there's something larger out there, but I don't know what it is. And I'd love to find out. And I don't know if there's a heaven or a hell. I'd hope there is, you know, a heaven at least. And I hope doing good deeds here and all that. But the one connection that remained living or dead with him is wrestling. Mm. So in the weirdest ways, I don't have like dreams about him. I don't see him, but I really feel him when I'm around wrestling. Mm. And it's the same when you have like these really, you'll hear people all the time who have traumatic situations who like to remember the trauma because in his case, the trauma with him, he was still alive. So it's strange that way, but it's always something that now I look forward to it. It like, is a good, it's the one time I feel like he's present in my life at all is when I'm in the ring. The only time it didn't was when I was wrestling my brother, which is so strange because you'd think it would be like amplified. But to me, I was so worried about my own brother that it was like, I didn't think about him. And the crowd started chanting my dad's name because the both of us were standing in the ring. And I could tell my brother was really affected by it. But for me, I was just so like, laser all right, focus. Dusty is already famous and over enough, guys. Like, we get it. You know what I'm saying? But wrestling, it's the area I went to. I went on every independent show. I went to every country. This is all right after I left WWE. And every meet and greet, 2 to 4 hours, every show was something about dad, something about dad, something about dad. And it was great. Right. It was really actually a great thing.
Can you talk a little bit about the workload? You just mentioned how you went to every meet and greet and everything. And there's this guy, Tommy Ballou, I think his name, that I follow on Instagram. And he's so inspirational in a business sense. And one of the things he's really adamant about is that to succeed, you really have to put a lot of work in. And you guys are both successes in the industry, and you're about to launch this new organization. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the hard work to get there.
Well, one thing that's really resonated with fans is like, as a catchphrase or a hashtag, like I always say, do the work. And I always tell people, it doesn't have to be a wrestling phrase. It's applicable to your life. In wrestling, everyone is so convinced, oh, well, it's show business. It's unfair. This person's been pushed aside or they've been belittled and there's some sort of reason for them not being in the forefront. When in reality, it's actually a much more fair business than you think if you put in the work and if you know what the work actually means. And one of the biggest thing you can do is actually get to know your fan base. Can't just be a spotlight on the ring and then darkness beyond the seats. And that's one of the things I really gravitated towards the Young Bucks about. I actually, the more I learn about Matt and Nick, the less I think we have in common.
Oh, interesting.
But the one thing we definitely had in common is we would sit for hours.
Right.
And meet every single person. And it never was about like an exchange of money. It was never about that. It was actually about, oh man, building a big fan base, knowing that when you go out there tonight, you're going to see all those people again. So that wrestling is much more fair than people think. If you actually put in the work, the real 24/7 job that this actually is, it will show up. It will.
And Brandy, what about you?
I feel that way too. I feel like it's really easy in entertainment in general to say, well, you know, it just wasn't in the cards for me, or, you know, that person knew more people than I did. Well, get out there and meet more people then, if that's the case, if that's really how you feel. And, you know, I think another great thing about what we're doing here is we're actually listening to what it is that people want.
I don't listen to people.
We're trying.
But it seems like, I mean, everything that you guys are doing with AEW seems like as a direct response to the fan complaints of the WWE, I think.
Yeah, I mean, well, you have to kind of take some of it with a grain of salt, though, too, because sometimes, you know, when we look at things like social media, what do you go on there to do? Complain. It's a rare thing. It is starting to become a more good thing when you do notice that people are going on there to you know, make their praise shouts as well as, you know, their like defeat shouts or whatever. But so you have to kind of look at things and then see them from the perspective of, okay, is this an actual thing that more than two or three people are finding a problem with? Or is this, you know, just something that's kind of fleeting? Mm-hmm. And that can be confusing, especially when you're looking at, you know, lots of information 24/7. But right. Now we're lucky to have partners that help us in the social department, help us like point us towards, yeah. Hey, right. This is what we're seeing in the trends, or this is what, you know, we've, you know, sampled a market. We found this out. And that stuff is just so helpful right. to actually kind of help guide us in the directions of what we should be doing or what we can do more of, or, you know, what may not be going the right direction.
Pleasing the fan base.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing we have going for us is we could be reactionary towards NXT, for example, because they're going to counter program us.
Right.
Or we could just be reactionary towards what you said, what fans have been saying for 20 years. Like, if you wonder the formula, I don't, you know, if... If someone at WWE right now is sitting there saying, okay, I got to figure out what they're going to do so that we can counter it, really don't have to figure it out. Just ask any wrestling fan what's been missing for 20 years.
Right.
And they'll tell you. It's a vocal fan base. And they had nowhere to go. Mm. Oh, I'm done watching it for now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so either you completely check out, or you just watch it because it was just something. It was just something and you feel like hanging on to it. Whereas now... Like I said, it can't be undone what's happening. Like, that's the formula to AEW is to actually, oh, they're clapping their hands because they want you to get off your ass when you're in the hold in the ring. All the way to they're clapping their hands on social media. Are they booing you? If you just listen to that and you're surrounded by self-aware people, huge. We have no one in the group, especially with me, Matt, Nick, and Kenny, who's not self-aware. Right. You know when it was a home run and you know when it wasn't.
Right. And there's on some level room for everyone, right? I mean, there you can watch WWE or NXT and still watch you guys. There's DVR services now. You can watch it all. But I think that there's definitely room for everyone.
Yeah.
There's a lot of professional wrestlers who have really transitioned more into acting, and people like The Rock and John Cena. Mm. Is that something either of you would be interested in really leaning into post-wrestling?
I skipped an audition today. So I know that I...
Was it anything good?
Probably, yeah.
So it was the next Marvel movie.
I don't know.
I tell you to get out of here right now. I go to that audition.
I like what Batista's done.
Right.
He really didn't take anything that he thought he couldn't sink his teeth into. Mm-hmm. And everything has turned out so like... He's just a whole new layer to him. It seems like he really applied who he was to these characters. I love what obviously Rock's the highest paid star in the world. It seems like there's a natural slot that's going to open because John is now on his way with Suicide Squad and everything that's happening with John. It seems like there's a natural slot. I would love it
the
slot. Yeah.
Well, he's an accomplished actor. I mean, he's spent many seasons on Arrow and...
That's right. I got a good reel.
You got a good reel. Yeah. You got a lot of things going. Stephen Amell, too. Do you think we could see him, speaking of Arrow, do you think we could see him pop up on AEW? Is that a thing?
Yeah, if he ever popped up on WWE, our friendship
we'll cancel him.
A real friendship. But if he ever popped up on WWE, I would be shocked. I mean, he had a singles match. So he's wrestling Christopher Daniels at All in a singles match. This is the third match he's ever had. He had very limited time to get ready for it. And I'm standing next to DDP at the curtain. And Dallas says, just unbeknownst to the situation, man, this kid is really good. And I said, Steven? He goes, yeah, he's an actor. And he goes, and he was just like blown away. I was like, yeah, he's a super athlete. He actually fractured his hip in that match. Got right up and went to work. And
that's crazy,
dude. It could have been a real rough situation because I would show up on that set only a few months later, and there were several people who weren't like joking about it. Were like, "Yeah, he can't be wrestling anymore." Like, kind of.
And those his hours there, like, aren't his hours like insane? I feel like those kind of hours, the CW hours, are like crazy.
I always would get excited about going, like, "Oh, I'm gonna see Steven. It'll be fun," because Steven like likes to party and stuff. But then you'd get there and I'd see him for 3 minutes during the scene, and he would go back to either working out or doing something, conference call in his Airstream. Like, he was never available.
Free time.
I mean, the lead on a major show for 8 seasons.
Yeah. And though they do like 25 episodes a season, they're like a lot of episodes a season. What kind of acting stuff would you guys like to do? Would you like to do something sort of superhero-esque?
I mean, I think I've been saying for 3 seasons now, I would like to be on GLOW. Please, someone make this happen.
They just picked it up for season 4. You need to be on.
I know. I mean, now, you know, Kia, come on, girl. Help me out.
I just met with a casting director last week, and I was like, she does GLOW. And I was like, you need to get me on there. I just want to like do one little line on there. But I think it's like the best show on TV. I think it's fantastic.
GLOW or anything horror related, because horror has been in my like heart as a child.
The new American Horror Story was money.
Right, the 84 one?
84.
It was just the first episode. The next one's good, tonight, right?
Yeah, but it was so what it needed to be. Follow American Horror Story all the way, but like it had gotten in its own multiverse so much that like taking it back to 1984.
Super cool. Yeah, I just want to be violently killed in a horror film. Yeah, chainsaw, something. I just want to, I don't know. Really sick with me.
I think the boom, a comic book boom has happened and it's great, but I think what's about to happen, and I'm looking at this link when I say it, is I think the first person who does a Metal Gear Solid or a God of War, that movie is going to be such a hit that all of a sudden every video game franchise is going to be
hot. You're a huge video game fan. Yeah. We were talking about that before, and I'm so interested. I mean, something like The Legend of Zelda, which Nintendo was notorious about not really leasing out their properties and stuff, but something like that I think could be the most amazing movie. And it's like, I know they did a Super Mario Brothers movie, which was whatever, but like Legend of Zelda could be an amazing movie.
I think that Super Mario Bros. Movie, if you take like a deep dive on it, and there's a bunch of great stuff on YouTube about it, but I think that's what's created. And also the fact that it's a Japan-based based company. But the moment Legend of Zelda, that's a gold mine.
It's a gold mine.
If you just have someone who takes it with a shred of seriousness,
even like
it's a gold mine.
Even some sort of like limited series of it or something like that, I think could be amazing.
I had heard my buddy Adi, he does the Bootleg Universe, and he's done a bunch of different stuff on YouTube and Netflix. He's a producer on Castlevania. I know he's got his hands in some video game franchises, but if you were to make a Zelda movie, that's a total blockbuster hit. Halo, blockbuster hit. God of War, blockbuster hit.
And just put the right people behind it. Yeah. Get a good writer, you know,
literally get 3 people who care. Right. And our whole generation cares about these games.
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
So AEW is going to be TV-14, they announced, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be a little bit more mature than WWE is traditionally. So was that was purposeful, right?
Well, I think actually we were prepared for it to be a TV PG, just because, you know, when it comes to standards and practices and getting promotion and sponsorship, and you want people to buy in on the product and of that nature. One thing that, and this isn't burying WWE, but it's just how they do business, and they've actually gone on record. They're TV PG, but they run a TVG show, which is wild to me. You can get away with quite a lot on TV PG. Mm-hmm. But after doing 4 major pay-per-views filled with blood and violence that wrestling naturally has, TV-14 was 100% the right call. And it opens it up a little bit. If we lose a little of the demographic of the youngest audience, if they're not ready for AEW, I can sure bet all this audience we were talking about that went away is.
Right.
So it's okay.
Brandy, you were on WAGS Atlanta. I have to ask you about that.
Did that happen? Okay.
I'm a huge reality TV lover, so I was wondering, do you watch any reality TV?
I'm trying to think about
any like Housewives or any.
So I was really big into Housewives for quite some time, and then I'm not really sure where I stopped kind of consuming a lot of reality TV. Where I guess my reality TV is mainly like House Hunters and Food Network, like things where we're like doing something. Right. I guess, I don't know. I see a lot of similar stories play out in the housewife world. So that's kind of made me kind of like,
That's what I was going to ask, because it seems like, I mean, there's so much drama in professional wrestling. I was wondering if you saw a lot of similar storylines that
Like actual stories? Well, see, so I've never been just the traditional, like, wrestling wife, but I know a lot. And they can be funny. Yeah, they can have their, like, backstage random drama. Where the real drama is in like, the world where I'm sure it's just not been tapped into yet is makeup artists. Makeup artists have so much drama. It's the craziest thing ever. Like, they get into it with each other all the time. There's some competitiveness. They're like, I'm waiting for them to do like a makeup, like a TV makeup artist show.
I was so mad at WAGS Atlanta for multiple reasons, but I remember like they invited us to a party and I wasn't supposed to be part of WAGS Atlanta at all. And then I finally like receded and was like, yeah, I'll do
what
whatever
you,
for Brandy.
Why did you?
No,
you were just like, okay.
It seemed important to her. Right. So I was like, I'm not going to like exempt. I'll be part of this. I already knew like, ex-NFL, like MLB, like I already knew like, oh, here's the pro wrestler, the one white guy, like here we go. So I went to this party though and I was ready to throw down. I was like, this is reality TV. People like to drink, they'll have a good time, and I love to like party. So I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna give myself, I've been on TV since I was 20. I know I'm not gonna do anything too stupid, but I'm gonna have a good
time.
You're
comfortable enough in front of the camera.
Yeah, we go and like I try to get some shots for these guys and they're all like coy and like, oh no. And they're setting up these massively set up scenes. Yeah. I literally went in the garage of some dude's house and smoked a cigar and was so bored. I was like, this is, you guys suck. Like, this isn't reality. Right. Like, where's the party?
Reality TV has gone through these ebbs and flows. And it seems like it was so real in like 2002, 2003, 2004. I always say Newlyweds. I don't know if you guys ever watched that with Jessica Simpson. It was like they had a boom mic in the shot. So it was like they weren't even mic'd.
Yeah.
And now, and then it went the opposite way. And now it seems like it's just so overly produced. And stuff. And I think eventually it will go back. Cause I think
we told them we talked with a group about, you know, a reality show. We've talked with a lot of groups, and the one thing I've always said is like, if you want it, it's got to be what really happens. Because what really happens is very
far
entertaining.
More, yeah,
you know?
So. And I think audiences are going to start wanting more of that because I think we're tired of the overly produced stuff. So
exactly.
I keep saying we need to go back to, there needs to be at least a balance. Some shows need to be something a little bit. Yeah,
I think that's why WAGS Atlanta didn't continue, because they tried so hard to create a narrative for it instead of allowing something to actually play out. Because there was a real drama situation that occurred during the filming of that show that I was sure, well, this is definitely going to get another season because this crap is crazy. Like, this is real. These girls actually had this real situation.
But they didn't
show it? No, there was all kinds of sweet drama. There was a bunch of escorts who were on that show.
See, why don't we see that?
Exactly. I don't know.
The fact they were all
there was a baby daddy situation.
They were all
that
super
was real.
Also hood rich.
Like, did they? What's their threatens of lawsuits and stuff?
I don't know. I don't know why you wouldn't have run with it because it was real, like organic stuff and like. At least four of the girls were in deep fights with each other to where they didn't want to film together. At one point, somebody got almost arrested. It was at a bowling outing.
That's what we need.
They almost got arrested. And I was like, why is none of this on the show? This is crazy.
My favorite was the guy who bought a house in Stone Mountain just for the show. But
he only furnished
one room, and the grass hadn't like been tended to in almost a year, and it looked like it was like overgrowing on this awful looking mansion.
They didn't have the money to do the
but he just did the one room, and he painted it all gold. But that was my last straw with production because I had an Uber take me to the shoot, and they wanted bigger rival shots, and I pulled up in like a Kia. Like, that's it. Can you ride with this guy? I was like, oh. Yeah, okay.
Oh,
like,
man.
I wanted it to be real.
But so would you guys do a reality? You would do a reality show if it was really real.
Oh, hell
if
yeah.
If I could have some voice in what it looks
like. I feel like you guys need to have one. Like, we're launching AEW. I feel like that would be like such a great fit for us to watch.
There are a lot of characters, too, involved in this launch, and like a lot of closely knit people who work together that's kind of very family-esque. So, yeah, I think you're onto something that there's a good possibility.
Good. I like that. Now, what would you tell people who are maybe skeptical about tuning in? What would you say to get people to tune in who are listening right now?
My rule when it comes to new television shows is I always give them two shots. So you got to tune in for that first one. You got to see the first one. And
you guys have watched the first one. Have you seen like the final?
Oh, no.
No, no.
No, we're live.
Because we're live.
So, okay. we'll be watching it with you. We'll be in it.
But it's going to be good. But it's going to be good, though.
It's going to be great. It's good. Well, I mean, there are details to that first one. So, like, Cody is the very first match ever on TNT in the last 18 years, and he's facing Sammy Guevara, who is a chippy up-and-comer kind of asshole. That's kind of a marquee beginning
fried
match.
Chicken the other day. He's all jacked and he was eating fried chicken. I was thinking to myself,
oh man,
what's your diet like?
Mine's terrible.
No, it's not. You have a nutritionist that makes your meals.
She makes the meals, but it's a joke. Boring. You open these meals and you're angry. They're shredded chicken and fake rice. Cause I've been just dropping and dropping. Yeah. Cauliflower rice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I didn't know, cauliflower, mashed potatoes. I don't want any of it.
I like cauliflower mashed potatoes. I'm okay with that. Well,
it's good for
gotta season
you.
It right. Yeah. But sorry to jump back real quick, but I just wanted to, you know, to help kind of envision what's happening. We also have the very first AEW Women's World Champion ever being crowned. And Nyla Rose is in the running against another one of our competitors, Riho, who's a brand new, well, not brand new, but kind of new to the scene of American wrestling, authentic Japanese Joshi wrestler. So it's exciting in the sense that there's a lot happening. You just got to see it all play out. And I mean, that's the beauty of it being a live show, is it could play out any way. There's no way for anybody to know what's going to happen.
I would say that the thing about it that's like just the most important, if you're new or you're a longtime fan, is the only thing people can only base comparisons on what they see on WWE right now. This is a vastly different production. Like it's shot differently. Sounds differently. It is not.
I mean, even the promo that came out, like, was truly thrilling. Like the promo, it was like a 2-minute promo.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, and that's very much what we're going to give you on night one is a buffet for wrestling. So I guarantee you, if you're brand new, there is something or multiple things you will like, and hopefully there are characters that you want to follow along. Just like with any new show where there's a cast of characters that you connect with somebody, it's always different case by case. But that's the thing I think people really, if they could throw out any preconceived ideas they have about wrestling, because WWE, that isn't necessarily just wrestling. That's them presenting wrestling, their version of wrestling. But pro wrestling's been around since 1903. It's been around for a long time, and there's a different outlook on it. Even GLOW is a different outlook on it. And in this case, it's going to be a very different outlook. So hopefully people can just come along for the ride and find someone they really love.
Dive in. And there's drama. There's costumes. There's all the things that we love.
Okay. I'm going to give you the absolute exclusive.
Please.
On night one. We have our costume designer. Her name is Sandra Gray. In our world, she's highly acclaimed. Everybody loves Sandra. What Sandra has put together for me. If you never watch it again, you got to see this.
Because I'm
going out on a major limb. Because she wanted to do this, and I defer to the creator, but it's a lot.
Is it costume that's shocking, or the makeup that's shocking, or all of it together?
It's probably all going to be pretty shocking. Right. Yeah. And I'm the one who wore like the Britney outfit, so I don't know how much more shocking we can get on national television than that, but.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. And Cody, what about your costume? Are you all ready?
Sandra makes both our gear, so I just give her, I like to keep like a branded look. But change the branded look.
Are you ever self-conscious going out in the ring in those outfits?
Oof. For this one, very.
I think the entire time you're in there, you are.
Yeah.
That's all I would think about.
Well, that's why everyone's standing up straight. That's why, like,
I'm watching this interview and I'm like, I gotta stand up.
You're standing up straight. And even, like, if you do all this cardio and all this ring work and then you get in there and you're like, oh, I'm a little winded. The reason is because you're not breathing.
Yeah.
You're literally just trying to hold. Half the business is a bodybuilding show, too. So you're trying to, like, hold a pose.
Oh, my God. That sounds exhausting. And then you watch it on TV and the TV adds 10 pounds or whatever. I wouldn't be able to do it. I don't know how you do it. Now, I have just two more quick questions for you guys that I ask every guest. Number one is, what's your favorite Mariah Carey song?
Ooh.
I love Mariah here, so.
I think I have to go Dream Lover.
Dream Lover's a classic.
Yeah, it's Dream Lover. Yeah. I tweeted about this. I'll never, if Dream Lover comes on, like in the gym, I'm not going to turn it off.
I'm not going with it. I like that. And then, Brandy, this is for you. If you were choosing for People Magazine Sexiest Man Alive, you can't choose Cody. Who would you choose? Like, is there an actor or a musician or something? Close your ears, Cody. I would choose Cody if I was choosing.
I mean, that's my natural first choice. Right. But if I'm trying to do this for the people, All right. This is where I'm going to go. Yeah. And I'm trying not to, hopefully I say this not in a weird way, mm-hmm. but John Stamos, like 10 years back.
Right.
John Stamos. I haven't really seen him recently.
He's still a stud.
So then just John Stamos.
John Stamos
still looks
amazing. He's aging like a fine wine.
I would pick Idris Elba.
Idris Elba. Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good choice. But you gotta pick a woman, right?
Who would you pick for? Most beautiful woman. Who would you choose for that? It's not like, I don't think they do sexiest women. It's like the most beautiful woman.
I'm gonna
choose Brandy. She turned it down.
Oh. I have something in my head that I think I know what he's gonna say, but we'll see if I'm right.
Like the Newlywed Game or something, where I was like asked.
I'd go most beautiful. Gaga. I'd go Gaga.
That's an interesting choice.
It's a larger beauty here.
Who were you gonna choose for him? Who did you think?
Oh gosh, I just lost her name.
Dana Brooke.
No. Well, not that Dana Brooke's not a very beautiful woman, but
DJ from Full House. A Full House theme?
No, but we actually we've had conversations about DJ from Full House. But
what are the conversations you've had about DJ?
Emma Stone. That's what I thought you were going to go with, because before, a long time ago, you told me that you thought Emma Stone had like a unique beauty.
She just doesn't look like she'd like give me the time of day.
Gaga would.
Yeah.
Gaga would. Okay. Gaga's got really great taste in men, too.
Okay.
Anyway, Cody and Brandy, this was so much fun for me. Where can people watch the show and tune in? It's on TNT.
October 2nd.
October 2nd. And where can people find you guys on social media?
I am at the Brandy Rhodes on all mediums except for Snap, because I'm not on Snap.
We don't need to do it all.
And then on Twitter, I'm at Cody Rhodes. And on Instagram, the very long and convoluted at American Nightmare Cody.
Thank you both so much for stopping.
Thank you.
Thank you.